this moment in time, and I'm excited. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open up to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7 is where we're going to be. And we are going to begin. I'm a series guy. If you don't like series, you probably won't like me. I like series. I like to have some flow and some change. And the Lord kind of put this series on the back burner for a second. I had planned on this being kind of our September. As we walked into September, we were going to look at this. And looking at a new series entitled Happily Ever After. We live in a culture, and I don't know about you, but we engage in some tales that are probably not true, but they usually end with a little carriage going away, and it says happily ever after, right? And this idea that everything in life is just going to be perfect. And today I believe that God desires for us really to live an abundant life, a life that is full of joy. A life that is full of joy. Yeah, yeah, there we go. It's like a life that was full of joy. Really, today? Yes, today, yes. That He desires us to experience a fullness. That God has not created us to just walk through life with this Eeyore kind of mentality or always being so down, but to be filled with joy. And that is His presence. And that we would experience, and we can live in a happily ever after, in our families, in our marriages, in our relationships. We can experience the fullness of what God desires for us if we will follow Him. And this morning, I'm excited to be looking at God's Word. The next few weeks, we're going to look at kind of what steps do we take to really enter in and to live into this abundant life that God desires and created, designed us for. I think the garden was probably the picture of this abundant life. And then here we come, mankind. And we do a great job of messing things up. And I think God wants to return us to what He intended for us. So Matthew chapter 7, we're going to begin looking in verse 24. Verse 24, if you have a phone, I'd encourage you, maybe silence it. Trust me, you won't bother me. I used to be a youth pastor. It won't bother me, but it may embarrass you, and I don't want to embarrass you. So you might want to silence it. Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 24. Jesus is speaking, and He says this, "Therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew against and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at His teaching, because He taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. Let's pray today. Father, today we thank You for Your Word. We pray that God, in this place and in our hearts, we give You free rule to move and to have Your way. Lord, that You would speak through Your Word, through Your servant today, but also through Your Spirit. That God, our hearts would be open and say, God, speak to me. We long to know, we long to grow, and to be led by You and You alone. So God, we thank You. We ask Your blessing over our time. Have Your way in this place, we pray. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 I love living up here, up north, when it's July and August. I love that we are so close to quite a few lakes. And really can enjoy these lakes. One of our things that we do as we go down to the lake is we bring some buckets and little shovels and we begin to build the most incredible, right, sandcastle you can build with one plastic bucket and one small shovel. And I think oftentimes we come in, and at least as me, I can only speak for me, I guess. I can't speak for all men. For me, when I see that sand and I hear my wife say, well, why don't you build them like a little sandcastle? My mind starts going, right? And I'm not thinking of a little sandcastle. Now, I'm thinking about something like this. Let's show this picture, Noah. Oh, yeah. You know what I mean? I'm thinking of a masterpiece. Now, I'm thinking of something that's just absolutely extraordinary. And I think, you know what? We can do it. Today's the day, right? With this one little bucket and this one plastic shovel that's bound to break at least the second time we put it in the sand. But this is the thought, the extravagant nature of a castle fit for kings. Now, can I tell you, it never gets to this place, not because of skill or talent, but because of impatience. Can I say not usually on my part? Usually we get like one little pile and then my kids come running in and dive in it and jump in it and stomp it down and say, yeah. I'm like, wait a second. We're building something here. And you ever try and walk a 2 or 3 year old through trying to build this? I mean, this is going to take some time. At least 5 to 10 minutes. You know, I mean, this is going to take a little bit of effort. Right, this isn't something that's just snap your fingers, it's done. And we may get like a little like mound here, and maybe even the formation of maybe this tower, and we're begin. I'm beginning to intricately use a stick to engrave these incredible features on this tower, and then out of nowhere comes a 2 or 3 year old, and knocks it down. And I think, oh boy, why even begin to bother? Why even begin to bother? We begin to have these grand ideas, yet we've have little ones who demolish before we even get started. It reminds me of a story I heard of a boy who was building sandcastle, and as he was building it, some other boys who were down the beach began to come over and knock it down. And every day this would happen. He would build this sandcastle and they would come and they would knock it down. And the boy was just frustrated and had talked to his parents. And his parents said, well, why don't you build your sandcastle around these? And gave the boy some stones. So the boy put stones as the foundation, as the middle part of his castle, and then built his castle around, the sandcastle around the stone. So when the boys came by to knock it over, they were in for a rude awakening when they began to kick at stones. This morning I want to talk concerning happily ever after, sand or stone. Sand or stone. See, as you look at this picture, it's a magnificent castle, and it's far from the ocean, right? It's far from the shoreline. In order to try and protect it. And I think even that's similar to us. Sometimes we try and build our sand castles or our castles of sand far from what we perceive to be danger. But here's a problem. It rains. What does the Bible say? It rains on all of us. Whether we're just walking rightly or we're not. Right, that the rains will come, and even though the shoreline is far away, and maybe the tide will not bring that castle out and demolish that castle, eventually the rains will come. This morning, I really want to ask this question, are we building castles made of sand or stone? Building castles founded on sand or stone? We all know that a castle built out of sand is not going to last. Yet one that is made of stone has the chance, and actually we do see castles that are hundreds of years old even older than our country, that still stand, built usually within and to the cleft of a rock, built on stone, on a rock, and they still stand hundreds of years. And to me, I believe that there's something that Jesus is trying to get us to, and I think oftentimes when we look at this passage, we focus on, are you a builder who builds on stone or a builder who builds on sand? And I think Jesus is trying to get us to a different picture, trying to paint a different picture than just about the builder, but about how we respond to Jesus' teaching. See, this morning I want us to see two keys that I believe will set us up for a happily ever after, whether that would be in your marriage, family, or life, and in life overall. Our passage is part of here in Matthew chapter 7. It's a part of a grander picture of Jesus. And what he does is he's giving a message, a sermon. It's entitled kind of this Sermon on the Mount. It begins in Matthew 5 and it kind of comes to this bringing it close to a conclusion here. And Jesus is taught and he's instructed and he's told stories and he's tried to inspire his people that this is what we are, what I'm calling you to, how to live, how to be, how to serve, how to love. And he says this, therefore all who have heard, right? Anyone who has heard and does these things, anyone who hears these words of mine. And I believe that in this, it's the first key to living an abundant life that God's designed us for. It's this, we must hear the word of the Lord. That we must hear the word of the Lord. Just give him a nudge. We must hear the word of the Lord. It's okay. It's not that big of a deal because it's just here. We must hear the word of the Lord. Jesus declares, anyone who hears these words of mine, wouldn't it be unnecessary for him to make this statement? Because all these people are obviously there. Obviously, well, we're there. I think Jesus is dealing with the same issues that maybe we're still dealing with today, that you can be in the right place and not be open to hearing anything. You know, you think I preach long. Imagine how long this time was that Jesus is here teaching this Sermon on the Mount. This time that he is really pouring into the lives of those who have gathered around him. And I wonder for us how many of us would be like, I'm just going to pray for a second. Many of us can't make it 20. I was looking up attention span for adults. I won't tell you what I found because it's very disturbing. We live in a world today that's decreasing the attention span of us as people because we want things immediately. We're not ones who are interested in being patient or waiting. We want to hear, we want to know, give me the facts, give me the thing, okay, I'm gone. So we don't sit and we don't wait, but here, this time, this culture, they were used to sitting and waiting, sitting and learning, sitting and hearing. But I believe that what Jesus is addressing here is he says, therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine, he's speaking to us, he's speaking to them, he's speaking to this time where people were there, but they were not open to hearing what he was saying. I've heard it said, well, there's a big difference between hearing and listening. But I would disagree. I think actually they're the same, especially when you look at their definitions. I think we want to make it that way. I don't know about you, my grandparents are absolutely hilarious. One, because they have no filter whatsoever. So whatever they feel, they say. You know what I'm talking about? The other is my papa has the incredible ability to be staring right at my grandmother, and she's talking to him, and he just completely ignores her. And sometimes you think he doesn't hear. And she'll storm off and he'll look at me like, give me that look, like, see, I won. I want you to know that there is a difference. You can be in the right place, but if you're not open to really hearing, I think to some extent men feel like we've kind of mastered this art, right? We just act like, oh, what'd you say? We almost try and make you feel like you didn't even say it, right? Oh, you don't know what I mean. Okay. You don't know what I mean. Are you sure you said that? Because I would have remembered. It's a way, and again, I'm not trying to put anybody out there. If I'm uncovering a secret, I'm sorry. Or if you really do have some issues with hearing, again, I'm sorry. But I know for my papa, he'll look at me and be like, I heard her. And he just kind of laughs it away. And I think sometimes that's us. We hear the word of the Lord and it's like, I heard it. But it comes to this place that I believe that we begin to kind of check out sometimes. That's why often I think maybe we should be mixing things up, doing things a little different, because maybe then it would get us engaged. But then I think, but then are we just creating a culture that is trying to captivate your attention when we should be hungry for the things of God? I think that some of our problem within church culture is we're trying to be so attractive that when we lose an attractiveness, the hunger is gone. When it wasn't really a hunger in the first place, it was an intrigue. There's a big difference when you're intrigued by something and when you're hungry for something. See, when you're hungry for something, there's little that will keep you from. My son right now, when he's hungry, he doesn't just say, I'm hungry. Mom, I'm hungry. He emphasizes his hunger. And he'll be like, Mom, I am so hungry. It's like, we just ate. I can't imagine what this kid's going to look like as a teenager. You know, how he's just going to eat us through house and home. I just don't know how it's going to work. He emphasized, I am so, and now I'll say to him, how hungry are you, dude? I'm so hungry, Dad. How hungry? I'm so hungry. And we just go back and forth. See, when you're intrigued with something, the moment when it just becomes kind of, I'm not really interested, it's easy to walk away. But when you're hungry for something, you're persistent. Sometimes it'll drive me crazy. He just continues to say it. I'm so hungry. Okay, we're going to eat when your mom gets home. Literally less than a minute later, Dad, I am so hungry. Okay, your mom's coming home. Dad, I am so hungry. If I knew sign language, then I would try. You know, it's like, can you understand what I'm saying? It's like he's hearing me, but it doesn't matter. The hunger is almost so much greater that it doesn't even matter. I believe that we as a people, we are called to be hungry for God, not merely intrigued about God. Hunger, and a hunger and a thirst for God will be satisfied in him and him in him alone. When it's just about creating an intrigue, and I want us to do our best to try and captivate your attention. But I got to tell you, I'm not interested in putting a monkey on my shoulder and trying to do a little dance for you. Just not. You might have thought, oh, stink. I was hoping for that. I believe today that if you're here and you really want all that God has for you, you can receive that. But if you're here and you're like, you know what, Pastor, tell me what you got. I believe that even in the midst of a message being given, the Spirit can speak to you totally differently from what is being said or spoken. I believe that the Spirit can enlighten and can highlight something that's being spoken, that's being said, even in the midst of all that is happening around you. In the midst of a song of worship, that the Spirit of God can speak to your heart, can illuminate something within you or within the situation that you find yourself in, and can begin to speak to you if you will be open to it. And the biggest part of this first key, being willing to hear, is really your openness and your willingness. See, today, maybe you're here and you think you have it all. You got all the answers, everything. Hey, I get it, Pastor. I'm good. In fact, why don't you move over? Let me get up there. Boy, we're in a bad spot when we can't begin to hear the word of the Lord and really ask for him to continue to speak to us. See, I don't stand here because I'm better, more educated, or anything else. I stand here because it was a calling and simply responded to it. I really believe that God's desire for us is to walk in this abundant way of living, but we will never walk in it unless we will genuinely hear. Hearing is defined as to perceive, to be aware of. It's not just noise. It's perceiving what's being said. It's being aware of what's being spoken. And today you may already be checking out. The hard thing for me sometimes as a pastor is I get to see you. And I think, Lord, help us. Not because I see you every second of the day, but just in these moments here, I think if we can't press into God for just this little time that we have together, are we really pressing into God when we're not together? If it's easy for us to check out when people around us are kind of, it's to some extent, holding us accountable, how easy is it for us to check out when nobody's holding us accountable? And I pray that that's a challenge for each and every one of us. Oh, great. Guess I'll have to sleep during the Lions game then. They're going to win. Just take it to the bank. It's good. Are they playing the Green Bay Packers again? No, I was hopeful. I was hopeful. God's desire for us is to not just be in the right place, but to have the right heart in the right place, to be open to hear his word as he would speak to us. James 1 declares that, my brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak. You want to know how to live in a happily ever after with your family, with relationships, within your marriage? Be slow to speak and quick to listen. You want to start a fight? Be quick to speak. Whatever pops into that head of yours, you just let it rip. See if that will work for you. I want to give you some advice. Do not do that. Maybe in those moments and times, I hope that you'll see my face saying, stop, no, do not go this way. This road does not end well. You want to be a peacemaker? Be quick to listen and slow to speak. Allow God to speak. Hear what God would say and respond. In our relationships, are we quick to listen? Are we hearing God? We will never enter into the abundant life. Oh, we're already there. Okay. We're already on two. In the abundant life that we're living, called to, are we really hearing? Not just placing ourselves in the right position, but in the right posture to hear. Say, God, speak to me. First key to living the abundant life that God designed us for is that we must hear the word of the Lord. The second key to living a happy ever after is to live as God has instructed us to. To live as God has instructed us to. Now, this is the application. This is really what Jesus says. It's the crux of this parable. It's really why he's telling it, why he's sharing it. He's saying, therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice. How many know it's easier to hear than to actually do? In fact, most of the time we argue about things, we bicker about things because we just don't want to do what we already know we should do. And if we can just quarrel about something, that'll give us something in here, a justification in our hearts that we don't actually have to live as he's called us to. And we've got it backwards. If we would focus on living and doing what he's called us to, I believe we would see an end to these quarrels, these arguments. Who puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. Both individuals heard, yet their response to what they heard were drastically different. Today, everyone in here is hearing the word of the Lord, hopefully hearing from the Spirit of the Lord, definitely hearing through the servant of the Lord. But my prayer is that what would be the commonality between us wouldn't be that we all heard. Rather, would be the commonality that we all put into practice what we hear. That it's not simply knowing more, but it's being transformed. How much does it really know? How much does it really matter what you know if you don't do anything with what you know? You know, you can be a genius mechanic, but if you never pick up a wrench or work on a car or work on something, how good really is it? Is the knowledge. In the same way, we can know a lot of things, but until we begin to put them into practice, we're just like that foolish man who built his house on sand. James 1 says it this way: do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. I believe we've been a deceived people. We read God's word maybe weekly. We come and we gather together. But are we really putting into practice that which we and that God is speaking to us? Are we putting it into practice? Are we loving one another the way he has loved us? We could just stop right there. That right there, that commandment, that design, that God-given directive is one of those things that will keep you busy for the rest of your life. In fact, I believe, and we see in God's word, that that's how people will recognize us as followers of Christ, how we love one another. If we can't love one another, yet we want to tell others about Jesus, they really won't recognize him. Because God is love. And if the God that you proclaim isn't the God that you live out and serve every day, what you're proclaiming is hypocrisy. Can I say we've had for far too long a lot of people who say they love Jesus but don't love people? And I think we have been for far too long proclaiming a false gospel. We love people. We don't condone sin. We don't just accept sin. Steve's living a life of sin. I love him. That's what I'm called to. We have a relationship where I can say, hey, listen, I see where you're headed, and it's not life, it's destruction. And I just want to tell you, I love you, and I just want you to know that God loves you, and he can redeem, and he can restore if you would choose him. But my job, my calling is to love him. It's not to say, I'm just, this is an example, okay? Everybody's like, Steve Bade? No, it is an example, right? My job isn't to say, Stephen, you. Hey, we've done that for far too long. I believe love will absolutely, because it's God's love that changes us, right? We celebrated the love of God right here today, together. And love gives grace, it pours out. Jesus says this, Luke in the same account says this. Same account, Luke seeing Jesus teaching, and he says this. Why, Jesus says, Luke records, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? This is, to some extent, and I know a lot of people want to look at context, and context is always good when it refers to Matthew 7:21, and they say the people who say, Lord, Lord, are more the false teachers, the false prophets. Now, I believe it will be those who claim to be in Christ but never were. Not just the false teachers, the false priests, but everyone who believed that they were in Christ. And this is how I get it from Luke's gospel, who says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" There is an aspect of grace that we receive, but then we receive that by faith. And faith is not dead. Faith is not a dead, just a mundane thing that just is there. Faith is active. It's either active in your life or it's not. You either are living by faith, walking by faith, which is obedience, or you're not. The truth is, the rock that Jesus is talking about is himself. We see in 1 Corinthians 10 that this is the rock, Jesus Christ. He is our rock. He is the rock that is the firm foundation. The foundation is not in how we build our house upon it, is how we live in response to what we hear. My question for us today, I wonder for us today, how many of us here have heard and yet have never lived it out? Throughout the Old Testament, we see it's the same desire of God, not to only be heard, but to be obeyed. See it in his people. They cry out to him, "God, be merciful." He redeems. And then it's like, well, it was better. It was not even great year. Tired of this bread manna thing. And then this is a vicious cycle that then God just, okay, well, if you want to walk away, if you're walking away from me, then I'll give you over. Jeremiah 11, the Lord said to me, "Proclaim all these words in the towns of Judah and on the streets of Jerusalem. Listen to the terms of this covenant and follow them." There's an obedience to faith as we walk it out. "From the time I brought your ancestors up from Egypt until today, I warned them again and again, saying, obey me. But they did not listen or pay attention. Instead, they followed the stubbornness of their evil hearts." That's not us today, is it? Sometimes. God says, So I brought on them all the curses of the covenant I had commanded them to follow, but that they did not keep. I believe God is gracious, yet he is also just. This is the huge dichotomy of how can God be fully grace and love, yet be fully just? Well, because he doesn't fit within our realm of understanding. I heard it said, if the God of all the universe can be completely understood within my 3-pound brain, then he's probably not worshiping. But doesn't God want to be known? Yes. He reveals himself through creation. He reveals himself through his word. And he calls us to make a choice. See, the truth is, it's the same problem they faced as Jeremiah is hearing this from the Lord as we face today, even when they were brought up out of Egypt. It's not the knowing. It's more the living that we have issue with. It's amazing seeing my kids when they know that I've called them to obey and do something, how they watch as they don't, as they choose not to. Your pastor held it together very good the other day, but one of our kids were turning off and on the light. Flipping it on and off. And I said, "Will you please not do that?" Kept going. And I looked intently then at them and I said, "Would you please not do that?" And then I began to make a move where I got up. And when I stood, it stopped. And I said, "Why did you wait till I stood? Why didn't you just listen?" Why didn't you just obey me when I just first asked you to please do this? My daughter will tell you that sometimes she don't love it because dad yells. I'm Italian. It comes naturally. You said, I love mom more because she doesn't yell. Well, yeah, because she doesn't have to. I do. I have to. Anybody know that? Good guy, bad guy? Okay, never mind. And I'll say often, I wish that I didn't have to yell. I just wish you'd just listen. I wonder how frustrating sometimes God is with us, and it's like, I wish I didn't have to yell. I just wish you would hear and that you would live as I've called you to. Out of obedience, out of love, out of respect and honor. I wonder today in our lives, are we experiencing the happily ever after that God has intended, designed us for? I'll tell you that you'll never experience it, you'll never walk in it outside of listening to God's directing and leading. You'll never experience it without actually his directing and leading and his word being a part of you and it being into practice, putting it into practice. Miss Terry, would you come? I believe God has an abundant life that he's created us for. And my prayer is that each and every one of us would experience it, but it begins with first hearing and then doing. Well, this doesn't sound much like a marriage, family, or a relationship. Well, it starts with you first making a decision. You see, in any relationship, you have a decision to make. You will either pursue and nurture that relationship and grow in it, or you will choose to not. The truth is, as I look around, I have some relationships, good relationships within that's here today gathered. And it's hard to believe. We've only been here like 3 years. Maybe it's not hard to believe. For us, it's hard to believe. How am I so close to these people after only this short amount of time? But it wasn't by accident. It was through intention. And it wasn't through just my intention. It was both. Then I look around and I think, man, I wish I had greater relationship with everyone here. Now granted, I understand limitations. That may be unattainable, but it won't because I don't desire it. My hope is that we as the people of God would really not just be content with coming and consuming, but that God has invited us to live a life full of his promises, full of his spirit. Today I wonder, are we simply here because we're intrigued or are we really hungry? If we're really hungry, it's evident. The truth is, the revealer of the foundation was what? The storm. That's the truth. I've seen many people gather in places of community, of faith, and say that I love Jesus, and then a storm comes, and it's like, forget it, God's not even good. What are you talking about? Nope, he's not even good. Going through this storm, you don't get it, you don't understand. God doesn't love me. What? See, you've heard a lot, but you haven't put it into practice. The truth is, the foundation of your life is revealed through the storms. We think it often when we. And maybe you even look around and you see people who you know aren't here because they've kind of fallen away. It's not because God wanted them to fall away. A lot of times it's because we've heard a lot, but we haven't put it into practice. That putting it into practice, that's that free will. That's that choice that each of us have each and every day. that either I'm going to live according to my desire or I'm going to live walking through and in the power of the Spirit of God. To me, I pray that we would be a people who hear, and not just a people who only hear, but people who put it into practice. Pastor, I just feel like we've talked about hearing and put what into practice? Put the love of God that has filled your heart, filled your life into practice, that it would pour out from you to every person that you would encounter. Every person. That it wouldn't just be an ideology or a thought, but that it would be a life transformed by the power and the goodness of God. That as He speaks, Lord, I desire to follow. Lead me in Your ways. Show me Your truth. And help me. Help me, because we can't do it alone. Here's the truth. You look around, no one perfect person in this place today. But the good news is that God's love for us, regardless of how flawed and messed up or how self-righteous we think we are, is the same, and He loves us. He's called us to walk in Him. Would you stand with me this morning?